ignorant. Now, if you back up a little bit, in chapter 1 of this same letter, verse 7, it says in verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, then verse 7 it says, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want to go into technical terms of what he meant by no gift, but, I mean, let's take that into our teaching and say that it says you come behind in no gift. That means that there can be a case where a believer who is born of God and is empowered by the Spirit of God will come behind. To come behind means to neglect, or better still, it means to have something and you're not using it, or, you know, even better still, to not walk in the light of something. For instance, when James 1:5 says, any of you that lack wisdom, let him ask of God. The word to lack wisdom doesn't mean you don't have wisdom. It actually means to come behind in wisdom. That is, you are not making use of what belongs to you. Because truth on it is that wisdom is in Christ. Wisdom is in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 to 31, 30 and 31 says, Christ is made unto us the wisdom of God. So if someone is in Christ, and then he says he doesn't have wisdom. Galatians 2:3 says, in him is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So Colossians 2:10 says, you are complete in him. So if there's someone that doesn't have wisdom, it's not because he has not been given wisdom. It's because he has come behind in wisdom. And see, every one of God's children has the gifts of the Spirit. It's just like speaking in tongues. Some folks today do not speak in tongues. Not because they cannot speak in tongues, but for so many reasons they are not speaking in tongues. Are you there? So how can a believer come behind? Number one, by neglect. He can neglect. He can neglect. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 14, Paul writes to Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in you, which was put in you by, or which was indeed by laying on of, by prophecy and laying on of hands of the presbytery. And he says, neglect not. That means you can neglect it. So that the first way I can come behind in the gift of God is when I neglect what belongs to me. Now, for instance, some folks in the place of prayer do not use their right standing with God. It doesn't mean they don't have it. They just talk to God and they say, well, Father, I'm begging you, please forgive me anything that you think I must have done wrong. Did they have to do that? Nope. Because they are God's children. They are the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. But you can approach God in prayer without making mention of that. Doesn't mean you don't have it. Sure you do. But simply means you are behind in that. So by neglect, for instance, a man can just refuse to make a use of what belongs to him. Secondly, and this is important, by wrong information. Some of us have the wrong information about the things of God. Just like you have the wrong information about someone. And they have an idea about it. You know, so some folks, for instance, have a wrong idea about me. Someone came to my house years back, and he was startled to see me watch soccer, watch football. He was wondering, I can't imagine this man is watching football. And I was watching football, and I was just normal. So we have a wrong idea of what it means to be a man of God. Some folks have a wrong idea of what it means to have the gift of the Spirit. So, wrong teaching can make a Christian come behind in the gifts of God. When he has been taught wrongly, or he has not been taught at all, he will have a wrong perception of the things of God. That's why Paul says, I will not have you ignorant. In other words, I will teach you. The only way, you see, I was telling him in service, I think it was the first service on Sunday, that the goal of every pastor or every teacher of the word is to bring you up to the point where you are able to do what he or she is doing. So, there's been a very, very strong disregard for teaching, particularly in the church in Nigeria, a disregard for it. And I'll tell you this, this is not speculative. I'm speaking by the Spirit that we will start seeing the danger of that. We have started seeing it, we'll see it in an increased fashion very soon. A lack of teaching. Because Jesus said, make disciples of every nation teaching. He emphasized teaching. To explain. So, when things are not well explained to you, you come behind. Also, when you are not diligent. When you are not diligent. Bible says in Romans 12:11, it says, be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6, Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. You know, of her hands. For God has not given to you the spirit of fear. So sometimes you leap behind the things of God out of fear. Out of timidity. Why would you be afraid to use the gifts of the Spirit? Maybe you think you are not in the position to use it, or you think it will not work. Either way, you are coming behind in it. Praise the Lord. So just stir up. If you can stir up, then that's not good. You stir up the gifts of God. Sometimes wrong information. In Acts 19, some folks, of course, they were not Christians. They were talking to Paul and they said, we have not heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Say, we have not heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. They had never heard it before. But they were diligent people in their church. But they had never heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. So is it possible for a child of God to come behind in the gifts of God? Sure. When he has been wrongly taught. He has not been taught. He is not diligent. He will come behind in the gift of God. Even if you are here and you have walked in the dimension of the gifts of the Spirit, maybe the gifts of healing as we're discussing today, and you leave it behind for a while. And then you get to practice some other things. You just leave it behind. And I used to tell these people, the ministry is a full-time duty. You don't leave the work of ministry to attend to other things and think you can come back and then things will just be normal. Now, imagine, Paul is writing to a pastor, Timothy. Timothy is his number one son. Somebody who pastors, who teaches the word of God daily. Somebody who maybe writes books and is on television, he says, neglect not. Stir up. So you need to be fervent. Consistent. Amen? Praise the Lord. You can ask yourself some questions. Say, in the last 1 month, how many people have I prayed for who are sick? In the last 6 months, have I laid hands on people? Have I got people to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Those are things you ask yourself. Because if you don't ask yourself on time, not long after that, it will appear like you've never had the gifts of God. So you've got to, you see, sometimes the wrong company, if you work with people that do not contend for the things of the Spirit, it will affect you. I remember a pastor like that, a pastor in Lagos, popular pastor, told me that he discovered that he was related with a particular pastor also who's in Lagos. They're both very popular. Very popular. Then he said he discovered that just by relating with the man for a long time, he just could not flow in the gifts of the Spirit. So he called me to his house. That was some years ago. About 8 years now. 9 years now. So he asked me, what can we do? I said, well, you have to first of all deal with your company. Because the things of the Spirit work with influence. You've got to be at the right place with the right people. So your company matters a lot. So I told him that. And I told him what to do. Then I said, you know, I'll bring to you someone I respect. I didn't want to preach in his church because he asked me to come. I said, I won't. I had my reasons. I can't disclose that here. I said, I'll bring to you someone I respect. I've respected the man today. This year we'll make almost 20 years. I've respected the person. He'll come. And then he'll come minister in your church. When you see him minister, it will rub off on you. Okay? Then you can take it off from there. I'm happy to see the man is organizing regular healing meetings today. Shortly after that, he's got to have Mary Miracle meetings because of that meeting that the man came to organize. So, you need to, sometimes you'll be behind because you're in the wrong company. That's why you must have a way you keep the things of the Spirit fervent in your life. Amen? Let me see how they follow what I'm saying. How many of you have noticed that in your life? If you notice that in your life. Just when you stop for a while, you know. Some people say, well, I want to leave ministering to people. I want to do more Bible study. You know, some folks come up here very, very ridiculous. I want to leave Bible study. No. You've got to study the Bible. You've got to pray. You've got to minister. Everything together. Having done all to stand. Amen. Everything must be done. You can't afford to be barren in any area. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Sometimes you ask yourself, how many hours did I pray in the Spirit last month? You should ask questions like that. If the Bible says in Ephesians 6:18, pray always in the Spirit. Then you must ask yourself, how many always have I done? On the average of 3 hours a day. Alright, so I ask myself, alright, that means in 24 to 31 days, I must have prayed in tongues for 93 days or so. That's just about 4 days or so. In 24 days, you ask yourself very good questions. How many hours have I taken to watch television? You can easily tell yourself why you are not as fervent as you should be. Praise the Lord. So the things of the Spirit demand that you be fervent, okay? And then you have the right information and right influence. Is that clear? Is that clear, everybody? Alright, so in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 4, go there, Paul discusses it breaks it down to us, and it says in verse 4, now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. What administration there is ministries. Verse 6, now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. What administration there is ministries. And there are diversity of operations, but the same God, which worketh all in all. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to what? Every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same healing by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another general Spirit, to another gathering kind of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all this worketh the one and same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Can we say amen? So he goes to discuss the gifts of the Spirit in verse 4, and then what gifts there is charisma, which is an endowment that is something that becomes an ability, something that can be done, an endowment. Now, we now said that there are, now scholars have helped us to classify the 9 readily seen gifts of the Spirit here to 3. The first 3 will be called the utterance gift, where we have tongues, interpretation of tongues and prophecy. And then the second 3 will be the revelation gift, where we have word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and our spirits. The third will be the power gift, where we have gifts of healing, gifts of faith, the workings of miracles. Now, why is it like that? If you look at tongues, interpretational prophecy, they have something similar. That is, they are primarily by speaking. They are by speaking. Prophecy, you speak. Prophecy. Tongues, you speak tongues. Talking of tongues, you say it. Now, the third one, the second group is revelation gifts. Primarily, they show you something. Knowledge, wisdom, and discerning spirits deal with showing you something. The third group will be the power gifts, healing, miracles, and faith. They do something. They do something. So, those three are what we are discussing the last three. Now, we saw that the gifts of healings was the only subject where it was in plural. The gifts of healing. He didn't say the gift of healing. He said the gifts of healing. And that's the only time Paul will refer to healing in the plural form. Now, we could say, well, that's a little bit... that's not the only time, pardon me. We could look at the next verse 28 also. He speaks about, he said some in the church, then the gifts of healings. Then in verse 30 again, of all the gifts of healing. So, the gifts of healings was mentioned three times over, exhaustively discussed in 1 Corinthians 12 in plural. So, we saw that there is, it's in the plural form. Now, we're going to answer that in a moment. Now, listen carefully to this. If you look at Hebrews 2 and 4, the writer of Hebrews said, you know, verse 1, Hebrews 2, 1, he said, therefore we ought to give the more earnestly the things we have heard, lest at any time we drift away from them. For if the word, verse 2, spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape, verse 3, if we neglect so great salvation, which was first spoken by the Lord, and confirmed to us by them that heard him. Verse 4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs. Now, it says signs, wonders, divers miracles, and then the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, I told you that when you say signs, when you look at signs in Bible language, that refers to what? You must have forgotten. Nobody's answering me. That refers to what? Which gifts in the epistles were called signs? Tongues and prophecy. Right? Good. Wonders will come under revelation gifts. And then miracles, diverse miracles, will be the power gifts. And when he says, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, I told you, that refers to what? Go back and find out what I said about Hebrews 2:4. How I explained Hebrews 2:4 to you. Alright, so we'll classify healings as diverse miracles under that classification of where you have the workings of miracles, which is actually a repeat of the word miracles. Miracles, that's what it is. And then the gifts of healings, and then the gifts of faith. Now, healing deals, now listen carefully to this, healing deals with the restoration of the physical body. Now, I know in the Bible, sometimes healing is used for different things, you know, but the healing used here is for the physical body. It's for the physically sick and the physical body. I've had some people, for instance, say this, and I'm not saying this to disrespect them, but I guess they're just ignorant of this. And they say, well, we can lay hands on people and they can be emotionally cured. I don't know whoever did that in the Bible, but they can do it. And that thinking came out of Christian Science, that you can lay hands on people and they are emotionally cured. And it's horrible because I've not seen Jesus lay hands on anybody. The guy says, I'm depressed, I'm not happy. My boyfriend jilted me, he said, come. Be healed now. He said, thank you, Jesus. Will you marry me? Amen. So, you know, we don't have such record in the Bible. So, you know, some folks talk about how they are into emotional healing. There's only one way you can be emotionally healed. Renew your mind. Romans 12:2. Praise the Lord. And in case you want to, well, maybe he should tell you to put on the new man. Praise the Lord. See, I'm emotionally down. So somebody's praying for you. I pray for you. Now, if you have seen yourself emotionally depressed, and you are renewing your mind and it's not going through, then there's a demon activity. Demons always are around people to make them sad. Make them just uncomfortable. Some folks have a habit of always looking sad. I don't know if you have people like that. Say, I'm moody. No, you're not moody. You're oppressed. Demons are oppressing you. So you get something like that near you, just say, come out! In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, the healing is the physical body. So the gifts of healings are for the physical body. And now you will realize and understand why it deals with touch. It's for the physical body. Amen? The healing, the gifts of healings. How am I saying gifts of healings? Why am I saying healings? Should you correct me? How many healings? Emotional healing, spiritual healing. The gifts of healing, amen, is for the physical body. So it's only ministered to the physical body. It deals with the physical body. Now, when we talk about the workings of miracles will deal with the physical body, but not only the physical body. The gift of faith will deal with the physical body, but not only the physical body. But the gifts of healing is for the physical body, not for any other thing. It's to touch the physical body. It must reach the physical body. And now, hold on guys. The voice of the body is what? Feelings. Amen? You know when if I slap you, boah! And you cannot hear it. You cannot feel it. What does that mean? You're dead. But it depends on the slap. There were some guys like that in my school, secondary school. You beat them and they will move. They will move. Say they are Alan Duster. Hear that before? Say Alan Duster. Yeah. Da! Now, it doesn't mean he's not feeling it. You understand? He's just dusting it. But when he gets home, he will feel it. Right? So, that shows you the gifts of healing is tangible. It deals with the physical body. It is not felt in the spirit realm. Don't say, you are healed in the spirit, you just don't know. Well, there was no gift of healing then. Praise the Lord. Is that clear? Now, I am not saying that there are no instances where people have to stand in faith to receive, but the gifts of healings, I bind the devil in you. The gift of healing is tangible because it deals with the physical body. Praise the Lord. Now, I know some of my teachers will tell me something and I had a reason to tell them it's not so that the gift of healings is different from what they call the healing anointing. Now, I used to believe that. Some 15, 16 years ago, but I studied more and I knew that there was no special healing anointing. And we'll see that also. Why it sounds like that. Praise the Lord. Well, I didn't believe that. So, the gifts of healings will deal with the physical body. That means it deals with feelings also. It deals with the physical body. It touches the body. Now, how does something touch the body? How does the body respond? It responds by feeling. Amen? Praise the Lord. It responds by feeling. Is it wrong to feel? No, someone will say, I don't believe in feeling. I believe in faith. Well, I believe in faith, but I believe in faith to receive so that I can feel it. Because if I have a headache, I'm feeling the headache, But I believe God, I'm healed. Amen. But if after 6 years I'm still feeling the headache and I'm believing God, and something's wrong somewhere. Because I should stop feeling the headache in the sense of the headache's got to go. Praise the Lord. So feelings are not bad. Just like, even in marriage, you cannot marry somebody and not feel. Someone say, well, I was trying to counsel someone one time. I said, the guy said, I just like her. I said, that's lovely. You know, everybody tries to to look like Jesus. I said, you just like her. Said, yes. Now, to what degree do you have physical, attraction for her? He said, sincerely, sir, maybe 20%. I said, don't marry her. You're going to be in trouble. Amen? Let's lift that and talk about the gifts of the Spirit. Now, so some of you are just dragging me into that area. You know, I'll bind your devil in you. Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of Him that raised Christ from the dead, you know, it says, dwells in you. I'm not open to that. I'm already quoting it. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. Now, to quicken your mortal body means to raise it. Mortal means subject to death. So to raise your body above death. That's what he's saying here. Now, this technically refers to the rapture. But you see, the Spirit within us and the Spirit upon us can cause the body to walk in a dimension of that dispensation. That's what healing does. Healing gives us a taste of the endless life. That's what it does. It's what it does to us. It gives us a taste of it. So, the Spirit will what? Quicken your mortal body. To quicken your mortal body. So, it demonstrates that power to us. Now, in Mark 11, so what it does, it comes to your mortal body and quickens it. It quickens your mortal body. Imagine if Lazarus was in the grave. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And then everybody's waiting. Lazarus, come forth. Then he says, can't you see him? Oh, there's no, we can't. So you all see. You are men of the flesh. So he lays hands on Peter. He lays hands on James and John. Can you see? And he sees Lazarus. That means he's finally dead. Praise God. For the power to walk, he has to leave the grave. Praise the Lord. So the gifts of healing is I had a definition years ago. I said the gifts of healings, I will tell you today. It's a complex definition. But I ended up by saying, working on the human anatomy. Because it must touch the anatomy. Anatomy is different from physiology. Am I right? Yes, I heard that from medical students. Anatomy means the parts. Now she's not obeying me now. Let me see somebody else. Anatomy is the parts. The body parts. Thank you. So I was right. Yeah, I was right. Because the doctor told me that. It touches the human anatomy. It's not for the spirit. It's for the human anatomy. That deals with the organs of the body. So you can see it's a miracle. Because if the doctor wants to get to your heart, it has to cut it into two. But the healing power doesn't have to cut your body into two. There will be no mark on your body. Amen? Praise the Lord. It goes indirectly. Amen? So I'll tell you that definition later. You'll see it's a good definition. Praise the Lord. I've been using it for 17 years. Amen? You don't like hearing things like that, right? So where was I 17 years? Don't worry, you're not born again. That's most important now. Mark 16 says you lay hands on the sick. And it is a word that you need to put in mind, Mark 16, and the sick, not you, amen, will recover, verse 18, will recover. The word recover is the word therapy. That means the healing power is actually like a therapy. It can be dispensed like drugs. It can be given to a man like drugs. The healing power is like medicine. It cures. It's like a therapy. Praise the Lord. They shall recover. So, the healing power must be felt. It has to be felt. Now, sometimes, it is received by faith, and then felt later, but it must be felt. The headache must go. The stomachache will leave. That means you feel it. The back trouble goes. It must be felt. It's a tangible power. John G. Lake calls it, he says, like electricity. You can't say there's power somewhere and then you can feel it. There's power in this room. You plug all the appliances on the sockets is not working. Says there's power here. Don't worry. Just believe in your heart that there's power. Please, let's get somewhere else. Because I must feel the power. So the healing power comes down to the level of human feeling, human perception. It must be felt. Now let's examine three cases. Now listen to this now. Listen to this. It must be felt, before you get it wrong, by the recipient. Now, I'll give you three instances. In Mark 5, there was I think we shared that last week, the woman with the issue of blood. You know the story? Here was Jesus, Mark 5, from verse 25 to 34. This woman was sick in her body. She had what you call hemorrhage. She was bleeding. Bleeding badly. And under the law, she wasn't supposed to even come out to be in the temple. She was bleeding. So she hears about Jesus. We'll deal with that later. She hears about Jesus. What does she hear about Jesus? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. She heard that. Now when she heard that, she had some sense. She knew that Jesus was anointed. So she goes to the meeting, and then she doesn't say, well, listen to this now, please. She doesn't look and say, well, let me just go there. She didn't just do that. She went close to him. Because the power is tangible. She touched his clothes. Now, as she touched his clothes, the healing power came from Jesus to her. Now, in that instance, Jesus knew. Now, Jesus did not feel power leave his body. That's a terrible way of reading the Bible. Amen. Jesus knew. Jesus knew the gift of healings, as we will call it in the New Testament, was in operation. So, he turned around and said, who touched me? Now, that statement shows you that the gift of healing deal with touch. Who touched me? Now, the disciples were wondering, Master, sorry, we don't want to be, there's about thousands of people here. There's something. Now, the woman now said, all that happened, and Jesus said to her, which I will clarify maybe next week or after, your faith has made thee whole. Be healed of your plague. Now look at that. Look at that. Look at that. The fount in her blood ceased. And it says, be whole of your plague. Why would he say that? I thought she was whole. No. It's called therapy. Amen. The fount stopped. But the areas where the disease must have destroyed. Are you following us? What I'm saying? And the power was still there. So he had to say something. Be whole of your plague. She was healed. The fount stopped. But she wasn't fully recovered. But that's not where we're going. So it touched. So there is a touch to the gift of healing. There's a touch to the healing power. Sorry, not the gifts of healing. I said gifts of healing power. I didn't say, so replace gifts of healings with healing power so far. I'm in a hurry. Praise the Lord. We'll talk about gifts of healing soon. So, he said, who touched me? She touched his clothes. And power came to her. Jesus did not feel the power. And touching his clothes does not release the power, because many will touch his clothes. And she was healed. Now another instance is Luke 5. Luke's Gospel chapter 5. Verse 17. Now, the previous verse. Verse 17. Luke's Gospel, are you there? Are you there? Thank you. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, notice, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was to heal them. See that? The power of the Lord was to heal them. Now, none of them got healed because they were there for different reasons. They were there to question Jesus and question his ministry. So the place was filled with the kind of people you don't want to be in your seminar. Amen? And the Bible says, and behold, men brought in a man on a bed which had been taken with palsy. I know they sought to bring him in and to lay him before him because they couldn't get him in. You know, the wrong people were in church. So they had to come in through the back door, through the roof. And Jesus saw their faith and said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And he spoke words. Now listen to that. Jesus, at this instance, did not touch the man. He didn't. With his hands or with his clothes. But the Bible says the power of the Lord was there. He didn't touch the man. Never touched him. He spoke words to him. He said, be healed. Rise, take up your bed and walk. The man walked. But don't forget, the power of God was present there. How do we know? Did the Pharisees and Sadducees know? Nope. Because it was to heal them. Now, who knew the power was present to heal? The man outside. Just like Mark 5, everybody was touching Jesus' clothes, but a woman knew that the power was there. How was the power of God present there? Because Jesus was there. Hallelujah. He was there. If he was there, then the power of God was there to heal. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. I told you last week, the power, healing power, is located somewhere. Is somewhere. It's from there that we receive. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 9, it says there are, he mentions the gifts of healing. And I asked last time, I said, could that be, you know, you never hear healing powers, right? Do you hear healing powers? Huh? Have you ever seen healing powers? Is healing power the power of God? Who went about healing, I mean, who went, with power went about healing to the power? So in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9. So another gift of healing. So there's just one healing power. So what will be the gifts of healing? Diverse healing powers? Nope. There's no quantum of power for healing. Rather, he's referring to the ministry. The diversities of the ministry of healing. The different ways the healing power is ministered. Amen? Is that clear? The power came. Now, that's wonderful. But look at chapter 5. Verse 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick unto the streets and laid them, Acts 5, on beds and couches that at the least, look at that, that at the least, the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. That means some of them that couldn't get Peter to lay hands on them, they just came around. See, let's just have anything that represents Peter. Now, a shadow will be, is just passing by, you know, something close to him. That shows you, look at me, that the tangible healing power is within the circumference of your location, if you have it. It's within the circumference of your location. Because the shadow, now let me ask you, would there be a shadow if they were in the room? Huh? So was it a shadow? Nope. That means there was a distance to it. There's a distance to the healing power. That shows you that. Even some folks who are in a crusade ground, because you wonder sometimes the crusade ground, and the man of God says, wherever you are, be healed in your body. He didn't touch them, but they were around him. So there is a circumference. There's an area where the healing power is located. So it's transmitted within distance. A distance. I'll calculate it for you. You want me to? Jokers. We'll explain that area very soon. So where you have a distance with the person who has the healing power. So they just came around. And just say, something close to Peter. That means they couldn't get close to him. They were on the street. And they said, come on. And then the folks were healed. Folks were healed. So it still had to do with him, Peter. Now look at Acts 19. And then Acts 19. Verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Look at that. He wrought special miracles. How? By the hands of Paul. By the hands of Paul. So, Paul becomes the location for the power. By the hands of Paul. That's so that from his body. That shows you that when he says by the hands of Paul. And when I say, oh, is the handiwork of this guy. You'll be thinking about something that maybe his ideas. When he says, so that from his body. So when he says the hands of Paul in verse 11, verse 12 explains that he's talking about the physical constituents of Paul. That God used Paul's physical body to transmit healing power. He says, and were brought forth the sick, handkerchiefs or aprons, and disease departed from them, and the evil spirit went out of them. So they just went to him and laid clothes on him and took it away. And took it to the sick. That's what they did. Now, that's a little bit different. The woman with the issue of blood was there with Jesus and touched Jesus. And Jesus said, who touched me? And she was healed. In this case, somebody else takes a cloth, puts it on someone else, takes the cloth and goes somewhere else to put the cloth. And the person on whom the cloth was laid was healed. That's something different. Praise the Lord. Look at the distance. Hallelujah. I hope we're not lost. Are we together here? So it's different. We're going to study each one I told you, but I'm just giving you an overview. So the healing power, again, becomes tangible. It's tangible. It was taken tangibly to the sick. Now, don't expect, hold on now, look here, don't expect that. These are some of us, really, we're operating drought. Who has an handkerchief here? I don't have one. Who has an handkerchief? A clean one? They can have healing power? A clean handkerchief? That can be, some handkerchiefs need healing power, they're so dirty. You know? You sure that's what I want? Thank you. Let me just use nothing. Now, some folks think, I think, an handkerchief like this. Because I took it from the body of the apostle, should be shaking my hand. No, you are not the sick. Amen? If you're shaking your head, that means there's a demon somewhere around you. Do you understand? See, when I have to minister to people and pray, I see the whole, just take a handkerchief like this. Just gently like, I will look at that later. Praise the Lord. So it was put on the sick. It was on the sick that the demons came out, not on the hands. Amen. Alright. So, let's go on now. So, just the same way, the recipients in Mark 5, Acts 19, Acts 5, determined the healing power that came out of the bodies of the ministers. They determined it. Healing power works with the law of transmission. That it has to be transmitted. Now, you know, let me explain this to us. And this is, by the way, but to explain, to give you an idea of what we're saying. Nigeria does not lack energy. That's always the wrong idea. Nigeria as a nation does not, I remember I was in, you know, Singapore years ago. This is, by the way, again. And I was with some folks and we were talking, you know, we had a business conference, we were at lunch, and everybody was talking. These guys, folks came from different parts of the world. So we just had a lunch, I think it was a lunch or dinner, I'm not sure. So we're talking and then people were talking about generators. So I was just lamenting how we had to use generators in my house. And I said, you know, they were talking about generators too. So I just said, you know, I use like 3 generating sets. And those guys said, wow, that they use 1 big one. I said, you know, sometimes. So we're having a good time talking about power in the third world and all that. Then I said, you know, sometimes, even to sleep. Sorry? Have you been talking about your house? I said, yes. You use generating sets in your house? I said, what? I said, no, I was talking about our industry. They only take like 1 hour a day. That's why we generate. I said, let's go to another subject. Thank you. So Nigerians understand the issue of generators and power. Amen. Now, Nigeria does not have an energy problem. You know why? Because we have wind. It's always here. We have water enough in Lagos. When it rains, you know we have water. We are blessed. Praise the Lord. We have coal. Is that right? We have the sun. Right? We have a very good weather. So, the issue is not the energy. It's the conversion. The use of energy that is present. That's what we don't have. We've not been able to use the energy that is present. Now, simply the healing power, it has to be transmitted to the sick. And there's just one way that can be done, is by the law of contact. It's by the law of contact. The minister must contact and the recipient must contact. So it has to be transmitted. It has never been a healing. Look at that, Luke 5:17. Jesus was there and the power was there. He was there all the time. The power was there all the time. So when Jesus says to us, you will lay hands on the sick, Mark 16:18, I believe that was just a summary of how the healing ministry is ministered. You will lay hands on the sick means you will minister the healing power. You will lay hands on the sick, and then the sick will recover. So the power will always be with you. Amen? If that scripture refers to you, the power will always be with you. And I showed you something last week. How the very bones of Elisha. You know what I mean? Elisha died sick. And his bones still have the healing power. How does that look? He died sick. And his bones carried the healing power of God. Miracles were in his bones. Amen. You know, one day like that, I went for a crusade. Not a crusade, like a healing program. Oh my. The way my body was vibrating, you think the tangible healing power was present in my body. But I was not feeling fine at all. And you can say, but when you get on the stage, you look okay. The suit is fine. Nobody notices. But the way my head was pounding, I feel like all the 9 plagues of Egypt were working together for good. You know. But folks came out and said, sir, I sense the power of God. And I knew this. I did. I sense headaches. And they came around and said, I'm sick. And I laid hands and they were healed. And I went back home and went, So I remembered I had hacked Elisha some years back. Judgment had come to me now. Praise the Lord. So you see, the healing power is located somewhere for people. Amen. Amen. So, it must be transmitted by the law of touch and contact. So the law of touch and contact in the New Testament are the gifts of healings. Is that clear? Is that clear? That's the gifts of healings. In Acts 8, you know that Sosra said, Sosra turned Christian. Hopefully. He said, give me this power that whosoever I lay my hands will receive the Holy Ghost. Say, give me this power. Why did he say this power? Because as the disciples, the apostles laid hands, people began to speak in tongues. They laid hands and we began to speak in tongues. So that means the laying on of hands is a ministry that is of power on its own. It takes ability. Don't lose that. Now in Matthew 18, Jesus' first miracle in the book of Matthew, healing miracle. Well, it wasn't his first. The first prominent one that was recorded personally was in Matthew 8, that where an example of someone, there was a centurion, firstly, where, he said, you'll speak a word and then he went off. But in the house of Peter, in verse 14, when he came into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. Now, earlier on, he was to go to the house of the centurion. He didn't go. He spoke his word. But this time around, the Bible says he touched her hand and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. So, it touched her, and the fever left her. So that means, words and the touch are different gifts. Where he will talk, he will not touch. Or most of the time he will not. So the words, the speaking of the word, and we'll see that, and then the touch, they are both contacts. But one is to touch with the hands, the other is to touch with words. You see, so they are gifts of healings. So the healing power is transmitted by the gifts of the Spirit, and they are received by the sick. It's the sick that receives. Now let me surprise you. After that scenario in Mark 5, he went to the house of Jairus, and then Jairus' daughter, a young child, was raised from the dead. The very next chapter, just as he left that particular program, he goes to his hometown. Now when he gets to his hometown, it's very likely, you know, they had played table soccer together. They had different games like that. So they were playing with him. Jesus, so he comes around and he's talking about power. He's talking about healing power. That's the next chapter. And then the Bible says, what's this big deal about him? His hand must have said, is it not that hand? That small hand that I used to hold like this. Shake it like this. Walk away. The Bible says just a few people were healed. In fact, not just a few people, with very minor ailments. And some of them, if you check them very well, just probably has to do with fatigue. When you're in a crusade ground, you've been there for hours before the preacher preaches, you have a back pain. Ah, thank you. At the end of this crusade, just a few minutes ago, I had this back pain, but I'm healed now. What is that? You caused the back pain. So there was nothing spectacular. But what did Jesus do? He sent his disciples out to teach. They taught the word. Then he came back again, Mark 6, and verse 13, I believe, says, yep, I'm right. They cast them in there and anointed many that were sick with oil. They took oil. They anointed. Why did they have to use oil? Because healing has to be ministered. It has to reach people. They use oil. Praise the Lord. I remember I went for, I don't use oil. I don't use oil. But can I use oil? As long as it can heal the sick. Amen? I went for a program, and then the pastor, I was to preach. I finished preaching. He said, sir, trust me, today is our anointing service. I said, all right. The people think anointing service, that means there's an anointing for the service. So I said, great for the service. And they said, you know, we'll need you to use this oil. Because they've been impressed by the message. See, so it felt, some people feel everybody uses oil. It's not bad. It just means understand universal set and subset. Amen. So like I said, you know, this oil. Where were we? The oil, right? Okay, thank you. So they brought the very big jar. I said, Lord Jesus. So I called people out, you know, who were sick. And then people came out. Those who need business transformation also need oil. So I said, no problem. So I took the oil. And they believed in the oil. Now, I don't want to spend time explaining faith, healing, redemptive work of Jesus. Some of them will go seek more. I want them to be healed. So I took the oil and I put it on their heads. Well, be healed in the name of Jesus. Some of them feel the oil says, oh, thank you, Jesus, I'm healed. That will make them believe. Then the real power. But at least they believe. Amen. Because you know, I'm not going to use one. Come for a seminar from Monday to Friday. You will hear about the healing power of God. You just see so many obituaries who come to church on Monday. They are gone. Amen? So they use the oil. And I use the oil. Jesus' folks. Now, if folks have gotten so much into unbelief that God made flesh, came, and they didn't believe him, you have to use oil. You have to use oil. You got to use oil. Because look, they just need any kind of faith. Amen. Sound like Brother Higgin now. Any kind of faith will work. So, healing must be ministered. Sometimes you use oil, sometimes you use water. I've used water before. And I said, you believe the power of God is here? The guy said, yes, yes. I said, put it in his head. He said, you are healed. Amen. And he began to walk around. He was healed. By water? No. By the power of God, that the water was the medium. Praise the Lord. Is the water the gifts of the Spirit? I didn't say that. We'll look at that later. Praise the Lord. I said, words, and then the touch. Don't forget that. Good. So, you can use clay. Clothes. What's in the Bible? If you have one, check it. John 9. Let's run. John 9. You know, it's very clean. You see a minister on the pulpit. And then he brings out water and says, rubbish! It's a talapan. Because you are not sick. If you are sick, you don't see charlatans. You see power. Hallelujah. John 9. There was a fellow. He was blind from birth. So he didn't know anything you had to tell him. In verse 6, Jesus said, has spoken his part on the ground. Can you imagine? I mean, some of all the ministers of the power of God, he said, pwah! Spat on the ground, pwah! I mean, Jesus is blessed. Very thick sputum. Pwah! And made clay of the speaker. I said, Jesus. I said, bring your eyes! No, the guy was blind, he didn't know what he was doing. And that was good. Amen. If the guy was here, I'd say, what's this nonsense? Praise God. He said, come here. What? And what is that we claim? He said, go and wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam. After spit, another big spit. Water. And he washed, and he came seeing. Oh, Jesus is under the Old Testament. Is your sickness under the Old Testament? Or under the New Testament? Amen? Better get healed. Now, some folks came up and said, look, this folk, and they were saying about Jesus. Now they now ask the guy. Look at the way, he's very sincere fellow. I like people to be sincere. As he came to the man that received the sign, he said to him, he put clay upon my eye, he said, and I washed, and I do see. And he said, oh, this man is not of God because he keeps not the Sabbath day. But I said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And he said among them, and he said unto the blind man again, what seest thou of him that opens the eyes? He said, he is a prophet. This is so simple. Amen. So he spat, imagine. Someone speeding on there. Proper. He said, hey, what are you doing? Shook it. Be healed. Point that you're very touche. Say, now. I want to lay on my hands like, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks. Man, you need healing. Amen. Mark 7. Praise God. Are you getting out of this? Mark 7. Mark 7. And the brother came 32, one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And he presumed to put his hand upon him. Just put your hands, Jesus. People knew the law of touch. Put your hands on him. That's all. He took him by the side into the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit, Jesus, and this spitting thing. And touched his tongue. Can you imagine? He spit into the man's mouth. What do you think he's spat into? I've done it before, 1995. Guy was dumb and deaf. And I put my hands and I say, open your mouth. He got him bothered. He wanted to be healed. He was a Tush guy, you know, who's been to many hospitals. I said, hey, come on, man. Yes, you're dumb. Spiritually too. Looked up in heaven and said, I said to him, Ephata, that is, be opened. And straight away his eyes were opened. And the strength, but don't forget, the speech was from Jesus. The one that had the healing power, not anybody. Oh, he came to think you are speaking. No, don't go that speech. That's the way someone with the healing power, his speech can work. Amen. I'm done. Praise the Lord. Stand to your feet, give God praise.